Lecture 26, South and Southeast Asia.
Lecture 26 continues the story of Southeastern Asian civilization, starting with the collapse of the Harappan civilization, which took place around 1700 BC, the period when the great cities of the Indus ceased to exist and the Harappan population dispersed into smaller communities. First, I'm going to describe the Vedic period, a time when a wave of cultural change and perhaps major population movements, the evidence is uncertain, swept South Asia from the northwest. Then we'll evaluate very briefly the controversies over the origin of the Indo-Aryan or Sanskritic languages. Then I'm going to describe how iron technology and rice agriculture caused the center of civilization to move eastward to the Ganges Plain, hot and humid, as foreign conquerors descended on India. And we'll show how conflicting religious doctrines of Brahmanism and Buddhism were part of the crucible which formed Mauryan civilization, which flourished in the Ganges Valley and further afield between the 4th and 2nd centuries BC. We're coming into the conspectus of the last 2,000 years. And then we'll show how Buddhism encouraged foreign trade with the Southeast Asia and with a much wider world. And then finally, I'm going to describe a catalytic event in the more recent history of this area, the discovery of the monsoon wind cycle in the 1st century BC, which enabled people to sail from Africa and Saudi Arabia to India and back in the course of 12 months, a phenomenon which created a vast world of interconnectedness across the Indian Ocean and beyond. During the centuries after the collapse of Harappan civilization, a long process of population movements, assimilation of outsiders with local culture, and acculturation continued in South Asia for 1,000 years. These centuries are sometimes called the Vedic period, a time when Indo-Aryan-speaking peoples spread into what is now India and Pakistan. This event, if it occurred, is described in the Samhita, a compilation of the hymns or Vedas of the Rig Veda. Now, many of these hymns were composed earlier and then passed from generation to generation by word of mouth over many centuries. They tell of heroes and conquests, of battles and military campaigns, of figures that were larger than life. To what extent does the Samhita reflect historical reality? Well, that's much debated. One school of thought believes that there were many migrations into South Asia, where the migrants married with local groups, the intermarriage giving place to the Indo-Aryan Sanskritic languages spoken widely through South Asia today. Another school of thought believes to the contrary, that there was no invention, that the Indo-Aryan languages developed indigenously in South Asia and were present many centuries earlier. I must confess, being a non-linguist and an archaeologist, I tend to believe that probably a great deal of this developed indigenously within the confines of South Asia. But whatever historical reality, the period between 1700 and 800 BC was a time of major cultural change and technological innovation. By 800 BC, an indigenous iron technology flourished throughout South Asia. As you know, in the Eastern Mediterranean, iron was first developed as a new technology in the second millennium BC. Here, it appears to have developed somewhat later, but it had one very, very major consequence. It accelerated the growing and production of rice.